and salutations, everyone. This is AC2GS. My name is Roy. I'm net control operator for this, the Limark Technical Net. It's been going on for over 46 years now. Every Sunday night at 8 p.m., we sit in front of our radios and chat with each other and inform each other, teach each other, learn from each other, and hopefully entertain each other as well. And I thank you once again for joining me this Sunday night at 8 p.m. when we're going to try and do it all over again. Let me drop for a second, and I will give you the usual links. Okay. We have an email address if you want to reach me. We have many, but for the sake of this technical net, mailbag@ac2gs.com is our email address. If you would like to reach Paul and ask him some space or NASA-related story and have him comment on it, his email address is spacenetreport@gmail.com. We have a link page. That's a page where I cut and paste interesting articles in YouTubes, and I post them over the weekend, and I keep them up for the foreseeable future. You get there by typing into your browser, roy.ac2gs.com. We have an audio stream on the Internet. If you have a friend who doesn't have a radio and would like to listen to the technical net, or if you're out of radio range and you'd like to listen, you get there by typing into your browser, technet.ac2gs.com. We used to only keep it live during the technical net, but some people asked me to keep it live the rest of the week, so we do. And also, I'd like to remind people that Mike, KC2NJI, has a great archive site. It's called amateurradio.tv. It has archives of the Limark technical that go as far back as September of 2006. So when you have nothing better to do, take a look at it, at the audio files, and play a few. They're still very useful information, and they contain the wisdom of people who've moved away from the area over the years or unfortunately become silent keys over the years. So avail yourself of that wisdom. That's the usual links. Let me drop for a second, and I'll tell you what we got planned for tonight. Okay. Usual standard operating technical net. We don't have any guest speakers, unfortunately. I will give you a couple little short comments about what has happened in the world of artificial intelligence this particular week. And not a lot, because everyone's getting over the SpaceX stock selling binge going on. But there are a couple of little things that happened in artificial intelligence news, and we'll talk about it. And also bring up some one topic that we talked about I think about 4 or 5 months ago that we haven't really discussed lately. After that, we'll open the TechNet for any discussion about artificial intelligence, and if you have some, we'll talk about it. If not, we'll table it for later on. Sometimes, even though people don't have any comments or questions up front, an hour or two into the technical net, they bring up the subject, and we go back to it. It's an important subject because if it's for the good or for the bad, it's going to have an impact in all of our lives. It's not just going to be forgotten in a year or two. Some would say unfortunately, others would say not unfortunately. Nevertheless, we will go to the main segment, questions, comments, topics. I'll ask people to hit the push to talk, give me their first name, their call sign, whether they have a science or tech or amateur radio related question or comment. I prefer if the first few are amateur radio related. I would prefer if the first few are short, relatively short. Every so often people have presentations. Try and keep the presentations towards the end of the technical net so that people don't have to hold on their microphone waiting to get to their turn. That should take us approximately to 10:15. Paul WS2N will join us for the SpaceNet report. That should take us approximately to 11 p.m., and I will return to tie a bow on everything and wish you well for the coming week. So that's the plan if the world, goes on the way it's supposed to and nothing hiccups. Last week, unfortunately, my new Elgato hardware mixer crashed, and I was not able to continue. It was very close to the end of my segment anyway, but that I'd have to kind of reboot the whole computer, so I just tried as best I could. I was able to cobble something together to give the end credits and wish everyone well for that weekend. I was able to upgrade the firmware, and it hasn't crashed once since then, so I hopefully won't experience that crash. And also, well, let me drop for a second, and then I'll continue on. Okay. We mentioned right after the Consumer Electronics Show, there was a presentation on solid-state batteries, which was somewhat exciting, if you believed it. They were supposed to start shipping them in products. They make motorcycles, so they were going to have the solid-state rechargeable batteries in their motorcycles by the end of the first quarter. This is past the end of the first quarter. There is no sign of them. They published press releases that were a little confusing and vague and answered questions that no one answered, but didn't answer questions that a lot of people asked. So it seems to be vaporware at this point. I mean, they may yet surprise people, but I don't think so. So, again, if it sounds too good to be true, it was too good to be true. Anyway, on to artificial intelligence. Anthropic suspended access to its most powerful AI models after sweeping U.S. government directives classified them as a security risk and blocked their foreign use. Is this real or is this public relations? I don't know. Let's see. A coalition of U.S. state attorney generals launched a major antitrust consumer investigation into OpenAI, serving the company with a subpoena to hand over documents regarding its activity and impact. Cosmos 3 release. NVIDIA launched Cosmos 3, touted as the first fully open Omni model for physical AI applications, which process text, video, and ambient sound to improve physics modeling. And today, New York lawmakers wrapped up their session and sent seven new AI bills to the governor, while Rhode Island officially passed a ban on therapy chatbots. So they're going to put a crimp in that market, perhaps. Anyway, those are the relatively new bits and pieces of AI news. Anyone have any questions or comments on any of these topics? Feel free, hit the push to talk. Okay, once again, this happens a lot of times. No one has any comments about the topics, but usually about an hour and a half into the technical net, someone brings up AI again, and we end up talking about it. We'll see if that happens this week. Anyway, let's move on to our main segment, questions, comments, topics. If you have any, please hit that push to talk. Give me your first name, your call sign, whether it's amateur radio related or science and technology related. And on we go. Any entries?
AC2PL. AI come.
Interaction hemorrhage related at all.
West recognized. Anyone else want to get on the list for tonight?
AC ABC2PO, AI.
Well, you had another question in there. Somebody wanted to say something about AI.
ABC2PO.
Why are you copying AC2PO?
Yeah, Jeff, did you want to say something about AI?
Yeah, Roger, I think someone's stepping on me a little bit, but the comment is that my wife has a Claude account, and she got the email that they were locking her out of their most advanced model. So it's not just overseas people. They just did it across the board for everyone, and that might have been performative, or it might have been because they can't predict who's using a Tor, a browser, what have you. Anyway, that's my comment. ACTPL, back to that.
Okay, very good. Yeah, I don't know if it's real, if it's performative, or better yet, if it's simply they're running out of GPU cycles and it's slowing down the rest of their infrastructure.
One other quick comment is I think you should do a roundup on local legislative and kind of community assessment of building data centers. I think there was one that was being viciously fought over in Utah, but no data center, no power, no tokens, no GPUs, right?
We talked about that a bit because it made international news, even not only just national news. It's a kind of ridiculous design that's already been cut in half. It's that guy who's in Shark Tank, the Canadian guy who says he's a billionaire but can't seem to prove it. He wanted to build a something the size of close to Manhattan. He shrunk that into half that surface area, and requiring more electricity than the entire state of Utah uses presently. So it's probably doomed never to exist. If it does, it's going to be shrunken down a great deal. Most data centers have either been put on hold or they're going to be delayed. No, they can't even tell you how long. So a lot of the predicted and boasted about data centers we will probably never see. But some of them are ludicrous, and one of them is the Utah. It's a deeply, terribly oversized. They have water table problems to begin with. So you start to put water cooling systems, the size of even half of Manhattan, you're going to run out of water. As these reports become timely, I try to bring them up and give people an opportunity to talk about them. It's kind of embarrassing to the AI industry how few of those announced data centers from the last few years have really gotten very far.
Yeah, Roger. My apologies for not recognizing that it was already covered. Anyway, I do agree that it's that aspect is going to be very, very important to follow, even along with the other sorts of legal decisions and kind of administrative decisions. Anyway, back to that, and thank you again for hosting.
You're welcome. With data centers, a lot of strangeness is going on. I'm sure you read it in the news that good old Elon is basically just rented out most of his data centers to Anthropic. There's a whole bunch of different reasons why people think that happened. One might be to pump up the valuation of his stock, in that he's actually making money on his AI equipment by leasing it to someone else. And all other kinds of strangeness going on with him. So, but but apparently he built these centers incorrectly. They're reasonably good for doing the final processing, but the training, apparently they got three different types of GPU chips that are not compatible with each other when used simultaneously in training. So it's a problematic configuration to do any training. They can do computing, but they can't really do training. And so he's leased out the space. But apparently they were only utilizing 11% of that data center before they leased out the rest. So I don't know. He's losing money on this. He screwed it up. And yet somehow he's asking people to buy stock where he's going to value artificial intelligence at something ridiculous like $3 or $4 trillion.
That does make me think. If you do hear that they're dumping GPUs into the market, please immediately tell me, because we could use them very efficiently for cryo-EM calculations. There's always a premium on that for scientific calculation, and people are grasping for those resources. Not that he screwed up that calculation.
Yeah, well, these chips is that they become obsolete after about 3 years. So I don't know whether they're higher power requirements and memory requirements will offset the discounted price, because I see no future where all those data warehouses, data centers are being utilized correctly and efficiently. Again, I think they're going to hit a wall. Rather than create a godlike computer intelligence, I think they're just going to crash the market. And you've seen the very beginnings of that this past week in Elon's IPO. But we'll see what happens. Hopefully none of you has too much of your retirement funds locked away in NASDAQ index stock. Thankfully, S&P 500 decided not to include SpaceX immediately. They were going to break all kinds of rules and just kind of include its stock, I think, after 15 days. Usually it's after something like 3 to 6 months. Anyway, we will see what the future evolves to. Anyone else want to put their name on the list for tonight?
KD2ESY.
Yes, Sam, do you have any question tonight, or are you just checking in?
K2NE, standing by and listening, Sam in Park Slope.
Okie doke, Sam. Anyone else with any questions or comments for tonight who want to put your name on the list? Tell me now.
KD2ESY, I do have a question about the data centers.
Okay, ask away.
I'm going from Jericho. I only know what most people have heard on the news. I just came into this conversation, so I'm lacking information, I'm sure. However, in order for these data centers to be constructed, isn't there supposed to be some period of evaluation, and the civic engineers are supposed to okay these projects? Has this all been done, or were they all paid off, or how did it actually come about? And it's causing all kinds of environmental problems, I understand.
Yeah, good question. Probably, if I give you the answer that I think it is, someone will sue me. But as far as I'm aware, they cut a whole bunch of corners. There was a Jeff ACPL AC2PL, mentioned earlier about the Utah facility. A large community in around that area in Utah wrote petitions, protested, and unfortunately the guy who was investing in the process chatted with three guys who apparently had the approval to kind of cut all the corners that you have to. Other people have checked into Utah and found that a lot of politicians seem to miraculously own land on that area, so they would benefit a great deal from someone building a data center. So it seems like the powers that be have basically bought things quick approvals. It should take years to do environmental impact studies, but it seems to be taking weeks.
Well, basically, it's just a circle of corruption. That's what it seems like to me. There's nothing fair going on. The people who live in that area, their lives have changed. The powers to be, with the corruption that they control, and the money, it's a very, very big injustice. That's the way I see it. And this should be a lesson to everybody else, that they need to be active in their community, and the new regulations, and stay in touch with their representatives and their town hall. This is disgusting. It's ruining people's way of life, especially those that have put all their time, effort, and money into that property. They want some space for themselves, and unfortunately, they were all taken advantage of. It's a pretty sad state of affairs.
Yep, I agree with you entirely. There's a lot of nonsense going on, but there's going to be a lot of suing. I don't know what's going to happen when the dust settles. A lot of these data centers are simply not going to get built, or they're not going to be finished. I just read a report about Elon Musk has Colossus and Colossus 2. He didn't have the power to run these things, and so without getting any particular approval that I was aware of, he brought on a bunch of turbine generators. He started with three, and he plans to include that to a total of about 100. It makes the area unlivable. I mean, think of it something like 50 jet engines revving up 24 hours a day across the street. So all this is having enormous impacts. If they're tapping into the local power supply, it's raising the price of utility power. It's having problems with impact of water reserves because it requires cooling. Not only that, but it sucked up a significant supply of hard drives, so that people with the computers, it's getting more difficult to get hard drives. It's getting more difficult, and you're paying a lot more for memory. So it's costing all of us a lot of different things. But unfortunately, now that the market is available, it's now going to have even a bigger impact on all of us. Even if we don't invest in these stocks, a lot of us have retirement funds that are indexed, and eventually we're going to end up owning stock in these companies before they go sour. So yeah, it's deeply problematic. It's going to make the history books like most things these days. And all we can really do, yeah, you can protest. I don't know exactly how much that's going to get you right now. Down the road, it probably will be a lot more effective, as these data centers never really make it to completion and such, and companies have to default on their debts and such. It's going to push financial situation much, much harder. So this is something that the history books will certainly remember.
Last pair of questions. Are the locals to these facilities responsible to pay utilities, including any electric or water, or are these facilities actually taking the responsibility and paying all these utilities themselves? Because I've heard of issues with that. And then that's my final question. Back to net control. Thank you.
Well, I think what's happening is each of these individual data centers are cutting their own types of deals with guarantees to one degree of strength to another. So they're all different flavors, shapes, and sizes, and unfortunately probably subject to change. And we're not going to really see the major impact until these centers that take a long time to really complete are completed and turned on and cranking out their AI nonsense to us all. So it'll be different for different locations, unfortunately. I don't think there's no laws, types of regulations on these things as yet by law, and there's a lot of political money that's pushing Congress into making sure that there's no law like that. So, before the dam bursts, it's going to be a big question mark. I don't know when we're going to actually figure out how bad this all has been.
A shame. All right, thank you very much for the information. KBQESY is listening on the side.
Okay. Once again, anyone else want to put their name down on the list tonight? Any questions, comments, or topics? Okay. Okay, Wes, I guess you're up.
Thank you very much, N2XG. FCC visited him, who was talking to himself on his ham radio. I'm not sure if you were able to view the list of the topics that I have for today. I just sent them today. Back to you, N2XG.
Yeah, I saw them. I didn't read them completely, but I kind of thumbed through them.
So that was a violation of Part 97.11.3b on 146.70, that is the frequency in dollars. So the ham radio operator, there's a video that I have sent, was talking to himself. And I wasn't aware that talking to yourself, even though it's kind of strange, is punishable by law. But there is a quote under the video, and it says, "An amateur station shall not engage in any form of broadcasting, nor may an amateur radio station transmit one-way communication, except as specifically provided in those rules. Nor shall an amateur station engage in any activity related to program production or news gathering for broadcasting purposes, except that communication directly related to the immediate safety of human life or the protection of property may be provided by amateur stations to broadcasters for dissemination to the public where no other means of communication is presumably available before or at the time of the event." So, your comment, if there is any, back to you, Dr. Ray.
talking to yourself is broadcasting. You're not allowed to do it. What I used to hear occasionally is guys who kind of were trying to get around it. And I used to call that a ghost talking, where they're talking to a ghost. Because it's obvious that there's no one on the other end, but they're it's like they're having a one-sided conversation with someone that I just can't hear. The FCC, of course, frowns on that. That's broadcasting. You're not allowed to do that. Unless you have special dispensation, you know, when Nets get together and they play the ARRL news or other news, they're allowed to broadcast those recorded materials. But otherwise, you ain't.
WNWR.
Right, there was a question. Station.
It was a station?
Yeah, Whiskey One, Whiskey Oscar Romeo, Robin Greenwich.
Yes, what can I do you for?
Hi, it's funny you mentioned that the ghost talking there. So it's funny there, before they came in on him, he was in Brookfield, Connecticut, and I had talked to him a number of times on 40 meters. I think I was on 7135 there in conversation back with him and giving him some information and stuff like that, and that he was a resident in Florida. But he ended up on the group of the 7200 group, which we all know what that's like there. So, and it's funny that they came in there about the ghost talking, and then he also refused for entry to from the FCC there. So, yeah, you know, you getting on and signing on and maybe giving a weather report there or something like that. That's not ghost talking, but to a amateur call signs there. Now that's ghost talking. But how that all went about, and I don't know what really came about it. If you end up getting charged with anything, do you know about anything else?
No, I don't know. Wesley brought up the subject. Wesley, do you know anything more on that?
Yeah, the only what I know is that there is a certain contradiction, at which you have a right to your privacy. But at the same time, once you get the license, you agree, and you must, at least what I understood, you're under obligation. At any time FCC wants to see your gear, you have to show it. So the guy refused the FCC to come to his house. And they used triangulation, they used a special equipment for it whatsoever. So they were outside, he refused because they didn't have an order for the arrest or the order for search to the property. So if somebody knows, so if somebody could put light on it, how that contradiction works, who has the right, Dr. Roy?
WNWR again.
Yeah.
Now, I know somebody in Jersey there was having a problem with his neighbor, and it was an electric fence issue. And he kindly turned around and talked to his neighbor, tried to work things out and be friendly. And he turned around, and his neighbor basically told him, you know, I can't mention those words on the radio. I'll lose my license there. So he tried to work it out with him and stuff, and he didn't. So he ended up getting hold of an agent, and he turned around and told him like that. And, you know, electric fences could be a big problem. They actually came over there, the FCC, with a warrant, and they came to my house back in the CB days with a warrant to search my house because my neighbor complained about me getting into his televisions, and they knocked on the door, nice short haircut, black ties, and a nice suit there, and a warrant there to search my premise there, you know, that I complied. They checked everything and complied. But this guy in Jersey, they went to his neighbor's house and talked nicely and said, you know what, turn around. We just want to check things out and try to solve the problem. We're not here to arrest you. We just want to straighten it out because you are in violation, you know, interfering with an amateur radio operator.
your system. And we just want to help him out and you out to find a way through the company and go through here. Well, he denied it. Well, the agent turned around and says, well, we can go two ways here. You can let us just check the system. We're not here to arrest you or any vital, you know. We just want to work things out. And he denied it. He says, well, you got a choice now. Either you let us there or we'll call the local sheriff and we'll go from there. And he ended up letting them in and they straightened it out there. So they can turn around and like what's his name, Wes said, they can have a warrant to search your property, your license, and not even license the operator. You interfering with the amateur operator license there, they have a right.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think about it? So it looks like, so in other words, once you have a license, then you have an obligation, which is kind of normal, because you're getting license to drive and you have an obligation to drive safely according to the rules. Now you have an obligation to let FCC to your house at any time, day or night, because they want to. Back to you.
KD2VHD. Yes, Jim? Very interesting topic. I like that you speak to it. I just wanted to point out that governments and any branch of government does not have any rights at all. People have rights. Governments have powers. Those powers might be legitimate, they might be illegitimate. But they're distinctly different than rights. Totally different animal. So I hope we continue with the conversation, but I wanted to make that point. And that's it. Back to that.
Okay, very good. I don't know what the point of this, by the way, might be. You know, if you're doing something suspicious, usually the powers that be in the government can take a look-see. You can refuse them, I think, and then they'll get the proper legal documentation and not really give you a choice. But what's the point of this? The point I get is you're not supposed to broadcast on the amateur radio bands.
The point is that he didn't allow FCC to see his rig. And he got the letter. He has 1 month to respond. And that would be, I assume, there would be some sort of court or some sort of financial... I don't even know how to classify it. But some sort of tickets, some sort of payments required. I don't know. Back to you, Dr. Roy.
Okay, so I'm still not quite sure what the point of any of this is. It's against the law. He broke the law. They don't have any direct proof. Usually other situations similar to this, the way they go is the FCC basically parks around his house and records all the things that he's doing in violation and then sends him a bill. And then he fights the bill and eventually he either pays the bill or they lower the penalty. Or in the case of a member of our esteemed Limark organization who passed away a few years ago, he basically passed away before the FCC could force the penalty to be paid. So that's the usual way it works. So I don't think anything's going to dramatically change. I don't see anyone taking this guy taking the government to court and somehow overturning the entire FCC rules and regulations.
Okay, interesting. Good point, Dr. Ray. They have recording, and they have a triangulation. Is that enough of proof? Back to you.
Well, you know, I mean, there's always more proof. But usually they don't stop at this, especially if they don't let them in. If they let them in, then they just kind of investigate the area, document it, and then send them how much money he owes them. But, again, usually when I read these things, it sounds like after the guy just kind of tells them to get lost, they just dig in and they increase the amount of proof they have of this guy breaking the law.
Okay, interesting. Now, the second subject is, how can I find what are seven words FCC doesn't want Pam to say? And there was the video, I sent you the link for it, I said 30 seconds watch time. And underneath of the video says that according to the FCC laws and regulations, there are several words you cannot say over the air while using ham radio, amateur radio, GMRS radio, FRS radio, or CB radio. That applies if you have both radio. In this video, I review a list of words the FCC will not allow you to transmit over the air, and I offer alternative words that you can use instead. So I wasn't watching the full video, but when he came to the part when he says those words should not be said, that was a scramble. So with all due respect, I remember KC2WGB, John, when we were talking, and he says, you know what, I have a problem. I said, what problem? Well, when I'm looking at the Chinese guy, I don't know if he is mad, if he is smiling, or is he in pain. I don't know, based on facial expression. So I'm looking at him and say, hey, what's the point? Say, well, look, there are certain things they say, certain words they say with their accent, very much specific. They're not fluent in English. And now I'm recording that conversation, and I say, I'm talking about seven words. The FCC doesn't want Ham Radio to say. What are those words? I mean, how to find those words? Of course, you cannot say them, but what? So the title of that was, how can I find what are the seven words FCC doesn't want him to say? Back to you, Dr. Roy.
Okay, go to YouTube, type in George Carlin, seven dirty words, and you can hear every single one of them. George Carlin made a comedy routine. He made an album with the comedy routine. Some DJs decided to play the comedy routine on the radio, and the FCC sued everyone. So that's the seven dirty words.
Now, the next one.
Yeah. Well, what would you like to comment?
I will GPR.
Roy, K2GJE. Your voice sounds
at 70 centimeters. A significant difference.
Also, sometimes you are causing repeater at you're not doing that to the Quinlox repeater. Sounds like
when we have a very much distinctive line of sight and radio horizon. So for those who might have a question, line of sight horizon refers to the maximum distance over which radio waves can travel in a sideline from transmitting antenna to receiving antenna without any obstructions. And this distance is influenced by the height of the antennas and curvature of the air. But I remember when I was between the scientists, I was talking about, we're trying to mention hand radio, walkie-talkie in your hand at the distance of 3 feet from the earth, from both sides of curvature of the earth. This is your line of sight. Back to you, Dr. Roy.
Okay, guys, this hookup is not working quite right, as mentioned. So give me 2-3 minutes, and I'm going to switch over to something that's much more usable, okay?
Okay. Can everyone hear me this way? Once again, this is AC2GS. Do you hear me?
Yes, that sounds better. Over.
Okay. Yeah, unfortunately, I had it set up and didn't test it right before, and to get it to work probably would be a reboot. So fortunately, I can be heard on RF, so we'll do it this way for the rest of this night. Anyway, Wesley, so I don't quite get the point of this this comment either. I mean, you increase the power, usually to a certain extent you increase the range of a given transmission.
Yeah, it doesn't matter if you have a half of a watt or 50 watts. We're talking about two walkie-talkies at a height in the hand of the two operators. And the line of sight is between the hand of the first one to the hand of the other one. This is line of sight. The weight cannot go any further. It can only go that much. Once you hit the curvature of the earth, there is no communication. At 70 centimeters, back to you.
Okay, but I mean, again, you're talking theoretical. We don't sit on a empty sphere. There are geographic, elevations, there are hills, there are valleys, there are skyscrapers, there's infrastructure, there's multiplexing. You're kind of presenting this as a theoretical construct, and we all know that theoretical constructs only exist in textbooks.
You're absolutely right, Antoine, only if you are underwater. If you are underwater, let's say, in one of the Canadian-American lakes, and then you have a curvature of the earth, then a theoretical construct becomes a practical one, right or wrong?
Wrong, because you're thinking that the water is a theoretical construct as well. There are deep holes in the surface of the Earth, the gravitational fluctuations, the density of the water, all those things fluctuate as well. They're not a theoretical uniform type of situation.
Okay. So the discussion is not that I disagree with you. It is just that I'm taking the opposite side of the discussion. So the discussion is more potent, I assume. Because if everybody's going to say the same, then we're going to have a communist. So we have a 70 centimeters or higher frequency. We do not have anything that a wave can bounce to. Would there be a significant difference between the two stations using half of a watt over the radio horizon, which is line of sight, or 50 watts? Back to you.
I could see a case where it could be either way. You don't only get range, you get fidelity, you get... how much background noise gets in the way of things. So you'll get a clearer signal if you increase the output. You might not increase the range of receiving the signal, but your reception will be of a higher quality phonetically.
Okay, interesting. So we have three structures. One is GPS. The other was GPRS, and the other was GPSM. So the GPS is just Global Positioning System, which is just acronym for that. So we can skip that. But then we have a GPRS and GSM. And GPRS stands for General Package Radio Services, and GSM stands for Global System for Mobile Communication. But it was quite a popular platform since the beginning of it. And if we say that we want to talk about GPRS, we don't have to. We can talk about the radio communication at higher frequency. Of course, I agree with you that it helps a lot. You have a little bit more power, because if the wave bounces from something or has to go through the tiny curvature of the Earth, it has on its way to on the line of sight, then definitely higher power helps. But then after that, what's different as 10 watts? Of course, half a watt, that might be. But half a watt, okay, but then 10 watts, 50 watts, or 100 watts, do you have significant difference or you do not? Back to you.
AC2GS, again, it depends upon what you mean by significant. Do you mean any difference? Yes, you'll have any difference. It depends, significant, there's no standard operating term. What's significant mean? Is there an audio term that translates directly into significant? So, I mean, will there be a difference? Yes. Will it be important enough to make a difference to you? Probably not. There are a couple of people who are obsessive compulsive where it probably still would.
Yeah, we're talking about the GMRS or General Mobile Radio Service. They have a channel, and so 127 would be typically 5 watts. Then half of a watt is 8 to 14, and 50 watts is 15 to 22. That works for extended range communication. So that's the typical relation, and yes, we do have a factors influencing transmission, which would be higher watts, which generally leads to better signal clarity and increased range, and we have a certain environmental conditions that affects The directiveness of transmission is also influenced by the terrain abstraction, but we're talking about water. Okay, and then antenna quality, we don't have to even talk about it. So that was one of the conclusions or answers when I was searching for it. But then the second one was that, it's not really that significant. GMRS, two-way radio power at 70 centimeters can affect transmission range, but the difference is often less dramatic than expected because antenna type, terrain, and line of sight play larger roles. So, what are we gonna say? Well, wow. Or we say, oh, yeah, actually, the second opinion is more close to the reality.
Okay, more close to reality. Again, I'm kind of at a loss to understand the point of all of this. It's a standard FCC rule that good use of the spectrum is to lower your output power to the point where you're getting a good transmission back and forth without using excessive energy. You know, why don't we use our linear amplifiers at full power for every contact we make? Well, sometimes we make contact from a mile away where it's overkill. Although there are people out there, I'm told, who use FT8 with a linear amplifier, which is really kind of, you know, getting kind of ridiculous. But still, I'm kind of at a loss. Other than a theoretical discussion and debate, what is the underlying point?
Okay. There was a video. I'm not sure if I sent you the link for it. I think I did. Which was discussing the difference in power. So there are plenty of people who say, well, if you have a 5 watts, you have that much of the distance. And if you have twice that, then you have twice the power. So we're not talking about dBm's, we're talking about ability for the wave to bend, or actually not bend, to reflect, because a photon is going on a straight line, to reflect. So in HF, we usually go to deep, high up, and then we have a channel duct at which the wave bounces and it goes down, and then we have a communication. At UHF, VHF, we don't have such a luxury, and in higher frequency, 23 centimeters and up, we don't have it at all. So the sense of buying an amplifier that will give you so much of juice is questionable. Back to you.
Well, one thing I would prefer, and, you know, words can be precise or imprecise, what's really going on with electromagnetic waves is not so much reflection as refraction. That's what the ionosphere is doing. It's going through a different impedance medium and being refracted sometimes back to the Earth, and sometimes it doesn't get refracted enough, and so it keeps going into outer space. It's independent of the energy level. It's dependent upon the frequency and the impedance differences in the layers that the electromagnetic waves travel through.
I asked that question on the technet because the video was saying, well, guys, you have a 70 centimeters band and you have a GPRS two-way radio, and it's not going to have a much difference or difference at all. Once you have, and thank you, Dr. for mentioning that we're supposed to load the power to the point at which we have a comfortable receiving and transmitting, not just overdoing it. So I was thinking that that would be interesting to the ham radio community to think, does it pay to spend the money and have an amplifier that gives you so much if you cannot go with that wave that much? But on the other hand, if you are in urban environment and you have a little bit more of the juice,